Father, just thank you for your goodness to us. We do pray for little Isla, Lord, just such a sweet little girl going through so much at this young age, Father, and it just makes us think of all the little ones, Lord, that we see in pictures, that we hear about, Lord, that are going through tough things at such a young age, and we know it wasn't your plan for this to happen. This is just because of sin come into the world. And Father, how we cry out for mercy for these little ones, Lord, that you'd just be merciful to them, that you'd have your hand upon them, that you would just strengthen little Isla right now, Lord, as she faces more to come. And just pray, Father, that her numbers could be raised up, that her blood counts could be good. Father, that you'd just bring some energy and just some rest for her parents, for her, Lord, as they just wait on this next time to go back to the hospital. Pray you'd just refresh them, Lord, during this time and just minister to them. And we just thank you, Lord, for being able to be here. We're just so thankful that you're so good to us. We thank you for the salvation that you've brought us. And Lord, we certainly think about this time of year more than others, I think, Father, that it's a special time, and yet it can be a hard time. But Lord, we know that you have a plan, a purpose. And Lord, as we see all the darkness around us, as we see the world in upheaval, we realize, Lord, that it's just because they don't believe in who you sent to redeem mankind from their sin. So Father, we cry out for them, that you just bring salvation to them, Lord, that they would hear and respond, that they just wouldn't hear, but this time that they would respond to the call that you have for their lives, Lord. Father, we thank you, we praise you, thank you for salvation, thank you for calling us, Lord, and giving us the gift of faith to believe. We're just so thankful that you're good to us. We thank you in Jesus' name, amen. If you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 1, a familiar passage to all of us. If you've been a Christian more than a day, you know this story. You know the account that Luke has as he brings. And we just want to look at a portion of chapter 1 this morning. Because if we did the whole chapter, we'd be here a long, long time. But in Luke chapter 1, down to verse 26, it starts out and it says, "And in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth." So Gabriel comes, this messenger angel. And remember, he's not an archangel. There's only one archangel mentioned in Scripture, and that is Michael. Gabriel was not an archangel. He was just a regular angel like Harry, Fred, George, Sam, whoever their names are. But Gabriel, this messenger angel, was sent to come, and he was sent with a purpose, as all those who are given messages are sent. They're sent with a message, a particular portion, to meet with particular people. And he's sent to Galilee. He's sent to this place called Nazareth, this city that people had said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And we know, yeah, good things can come out of Nazareth. And we know the one who was sent to Nazareth. And he was sent to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. She was engaged to this man. The wedding had been set up. His name was Joseph. He was the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." it's amazing that this young gal, maybe 14, 15, maybe that's even high. We're not even sure. But he's come to this young gal to minister to her. And I'm sure for any of us, it would freak us out if an angel came and started talking to us, especially if we saw this heavenly vision around him. But this angel comes, ministers to Mary, and he says the first thing, "Fear not," because she would be afraid just like you and I would have some trepidation just seeing that this heavenly being come before us with a message for us. He says, you're highly favored. And the wording there really means you're much graced. There's going to be much grace poured on your life, Mary. And wherever there's the grace of God, there's the equipping of God, and there's the leading of God that's going to be there. And for you and I, we think sometimes that as we become Christians, we just have no focus, no vision, no understanding of the things that are there. But if God has called you and he's called you by name to save you, then he's also given the grace for you to be saved, as well as then to be led through the life that he has for you. We think, well, Lord, I'm just kind of living the same life I was before, but there's a difference now, isn't there? There's a difference in your leading. You're not like you used to be. You don't have to go out to the bars. You don't have to use the words that you used before you were saved. You don't have to have the thoughts that you had before. So you are being led. And Jesus called himself in John chapter 10, the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd always leads. A shepherd always leads. The only one of its kind is the shepherd who leads. Cattle are driven. Sheep are led. You are being led by the Spirit of God for the purposes of God into the kingdom of God. That's our focus. We're being led to a heavenly city. And aren't you thankful? And I think it's coming soon. And it would be wonderful, because I'd love to get rid of this flesh for a change and have something different, having a new body, a new heart, new mind, a new everything. But he comes to this young gal, and I can't imagine. Remember when you were teenagers? You just turned 13 and you thought you knew everything that was ever needed to be known, and how dumb your parents were because you knew better than they did. I can't imagine this angel coming to this gal. She's engaged to be married, and this angel comes with a message that's just going to turn her world upside down. But isn't that the same message that we got? The message that we got from the Lord was that we needed to repent and be saved. And that turned our world upside down. Really what it did, it turned us right side up, because we were upside down to start with. We were going the wrong direction, the wrong way, with the wrong heart, with the wrong mind. And he came in, he saved us, and he's given us a new message, a new hope, a new direction, new everything. So don't feel that you're alone this morning as you come, because Jesus is leading. He's calling, he's directing, he's equipping you. Today's going to be different than any other day you ever had, but it's going to be led by the one who knows it. And I'd much rather be led by somebody who knows what my day is going to bring than by somebody who can only think of what could happen in my day. We always have our plans. Well, today, this is my list. You know, and I don't know if you guys are list makers, but I like to look ahead a little bit and write down, this is what I need for this day. This is what I need for the next day. And we had our family Christmas yesterday, so all last week was wrapping presents and doing things. I've got 4 girls, 12 grandkids, 6 great grandkids, and not all of them came yesterday, but we had enough for a lodge full at the park. But all last week was just shopping, wrapping, shopping. Oh, we forgot one. Wrapping, shopping. Going through the list over and over and over. But what a blessing to just have family around. And can you imagine it? If we're this excited to have family around, how excited is Jesus to come and get us for that final call? Oh, can't imagine. The angel comes. He ministers to Mary. Hail. How you doing, Mary? You're much graced. The Lord is with you. Isn't that amazing? The Lord is with you. He's not against you anymore. He's for you. He's for us. And if he's for us, who can be against us? Scripture says. Hold on to those promises. Herbert Lockyer, who's written a number of books, has said that there's 7,487 promises in the Bible for his people. Oh, we can't even handle one of them sometimes, because we think, God, where are you? He says, I'm still with you. I haven't left you. I haven't forsaken you. I'm not going to. And yet, how often do we doubt that one? And just think of all the others. You're highly favored, Mary. The Lord is with you. Oh, to know if God is with me, who can be against me? and help me to believe that, help me to trust that. And she's going to have to go through a lot, isn't she? She's going to have to go through looks and talking behind her back, probably some rude comments even to her face. You're not even married, and you're pregnant, Mary. Oof. And I grew up in an age where divorce was uncommon. It wasn't completely gone, but it was uncommon. And so to hear of folks that were getting divorced was almost like a scandal. And yet here's a gal who's not even married and pregnant. Can't imagine the looks and the stares and the shunning and the pushing aside. And yet she trusted, Lord, you're with me. If you're with me, it doesn't matter. Lord, if you're with me, I can get through this. And for you and I, we're living in dark days. And it seems like the whole world is against us. You guys are terrorists now, according to the government. Amazing. People look at you funny when you say, I'm getting up to go to church. You're going, where? Why, is there a funeral or something? No, I'm going to church because I want to. Really? You'd rather give up sleeping in and go to church than just having your own time? This is what I do as a Christian. This is what I do because the Lord loved me so much that he gave himself for me. Why would I not want to respond to that and love him in return? He's called me to gather together with believers. He's called me to read his word. He's called me to trust him. These are the same things Mary's going through, that you're going through. It's not uncommon. It's not rare. It's the same thing. Hail Mary, you are blessed among women. Notice not, excuse me, it's not COVID. Blessed are you among women. Notice it's not above women, but among. In the midst of these women, you're blessed. Among. Not separate, but among. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. No kidding. And cast in her mind what manner of greeting or salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. God has brought his favor upon you. He wants to minister to you, so have peace in the midst of it. And I can't imagine the thoughts. You know, how? What did I do to deserve favor of God? What did I do to know the presence of God in my life? And he says, and behold, he hasn't finished yet. I mean, that would be enough, wouldn't it be? That would be enough, but he keeps going. Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. Oh, really? This is what I'm going to do. Okay, I'm engaged. I'll have a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. God is salvation, and he's going to be great, certainly great. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. As the angel comes and ministers this to Mary, telling her who he is and what he's going to do and what's going to happen with him, I mean, every parent hopes, I hope my son or my daughter will be great. I hope they'll listen. I hope they'll grow up into be somebody. And the angel comes and says, not only is your son going to be great, he's going to be really great. He's going to do things that nobody else can do. He's going to do things that nobody else can even imagine to do. Can you imagine having to die for the sin of your neighbors? Lord, I don't even like my neighbors. They play their music too loud. They don't mow their lawn like I do. Lord, they let their trees go, oh, and having to die for them. And it tells us in Scripture that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. While we were his enemies, he died for us. And he's going to grow up to be this great man who's going to sit on the throne of David forever. His reign is never going to end. I'm thankful for that we have a God who's going to reign forever. Then said Mary to the angel, would you have questions? Well, probably. I got a couple of questions here. And Mary says to the angel, to Gabriel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I've had no relations with a man. How can this be? And the angel answered. Notice the angel took the time. He just didn't deliver this message and just boogie out of town. He came, he delivered the message. And she asked a question. Do you ever think that God doesn't hear you when you ask questions? He's just going to say something to you and then he's going to leave? He inclines his ear to us, it tells us in the Psalms. To those that are believers, he inclines his ear to hear you when you cry out. And he stayed and he answered. Mary, I know you're going to have questions. And I'm going to minister to you in the midst of those questions, Mary. He hasn't left us and he listens to us. I know sometimes it feels like God doesn't hear us. He doesn't hear our cries. He hears and he's answering. We just don't always like the answer. We just don't always like the way he does it. But he always does well. And he does it good for us. He answers and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, and she didn't even know it. The Holy Spirit's telling her something she didn't know. She didn't understand. This woman that was called barren, this woman who was of old age, it tells us in Scripture, we're not sure how old, but past the age of childbearing, and yet she was pregnant, showing her the same God who's speaking to you, Mary, is the same God who spoke to Elizabeth and Zacharias and has brought them a child. The same one who took the time to minister to them in their cries, in their prayers for a child, is the same one who's speaking to you now, Mary. And if I've brought this to pass in her, can't I do something with you? And sometimes we think God only speaks to the Billy Grahams and to the Franklin Grahams and to the high people in the church. God speaks to the low also, to you and I, those that want to be abased before him. Well, I'm nothing compared to some of those guys. Well, they were nothing once too, till God spoke to them. It was only by God's equipping and God's using and their reliance on him and their trust of him that those things happened in their lives. So don't think you're without hope. He wants to bring that hope to all of us, and he answers us. He shows Elizabeth that there's, he shows Mary, rather, that there's another miracle that's gone on, the same miracle that's going to happen to you, and everything is possible with God. It tells us in verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Do you believe that? Do you trust that? I trust it when things are going my way. I don't always trust it when they're not. But he delivers this message to her. And Mary said, I don't believe you. I'm out of here. See you later. Sayonara. Goodbye. I'm glad the Bible doesn't say that. But that's what we would think sometimes, isn't it? When God speaks to us, this is the man or the woman of God that I want you to be. No, that's not going to happen, Lord. That completely changes my life. I don't know if I can do that. And haven't you had people tell you that as you talk to them about Jesus? That you're going to love reading your Bible, you're going to love praying, you're going to love being in church, and they look at you and go, nah, I don't think that life is for me. That completely changes everything about me. I can't do that. We had one guy, we were talking about him yesterday. He was from Portugal. He was my barber for years and years and years. We used to talk to him all the time about Jesus. Used to bring him coffee every morning when he was open. Used to sit there and talk to him about the Lord. And he finally said to me, Billy, I can't. What do you mean you can't, Louie? I can't come to this Jesus. Why not, Louie? You go to church all the time. Yeah, I know. But if I leave the faith that I'm in, my family won't talk to me. But it's going to be a better life, Louie. I can't do it. Oh, how disheartening. Isn't that disheartening? For people not to want to listen. And Mary could have done the same thing, couldn't she? She had a choice. I can trust you, I can believe you, I can walk with you, or I can walk away. And every day we're presented with choices, aren't we? I can follow Jesus, I can act like him today, I can walk like him today, or I can just disregard it. But God is so good and so gracious that he even equips us with the grace that we need to even do that today. And it's every day. His mercies are new every morning, Ecclesiastes tell us. His compassions fail not. And that's so encouraging. Lord, I need more mercy because I don't have enough for this right now. I'll give you whatever you need. Hmm. So Mary says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. I'm your servant, Lord. So whatever you want to do to me, you do. Oh, however you want to change me, however you want to work in my life, I want that to happen, Lord. Do you say that? Do I say that? Sometimes. Sometimes with half a heart, sometimes thinking, well, God's not going to do anything to me today anyway. So, yeah, I'm your servant. I'm your bondslave. Whatever you want to do, you do it, and I'll obey. Oh, amazing for a young gal to say something like that. And as soon as the angel heard that, it says he departed. As soon as he knew that her heart was set and settled in what God had given her, the message that he had brought to her, he left because his mission was accomplished. He didn't have to stay around and guide her through the day. He left because he knew God was going to take care of her. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. This wasn't just a little jaunt. This is 80 to 100 miles. She didn't hop in her Hummer and take off and was there in a couple hours. This is 80 to 100 miles away, walking through the country, walking through the dangers. God, if you've equipped me to bear the Son of God, then you're going to keep me till that is accomplished. Not fearing what was before her, not fearing, this is an 80-mile, 100-mile trek, Lord. I don't think I can do it. I don't want to do it. She got up. She went. Lord, I want to see the miracle that you performed in my cousin's life. I want to see the miracle that's happened in somebody else's life. You performed a miracle in my life. You've made me a new creature. You've put your Holy Spirit within me. You dwell in me now. You are walking miracles, folks. Every single one of you that know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're a miracle. And you think, well, that's just for everybody else. No, it's for you. You're a miracle. You may not feel like a miracle. In fact, there may be days when you just detest everything that's going on in your life. But you're a miracle to God. Because you answered his cry. He called you by name and you responded. That's a miracle. And the Holy Spirit then has come and indwells you. And if the Holy Spirit thinks that you're worthy enough to indwell you, why don't we think that we're good enough for the Holy Spirit to indwell us? It's not our goodness anyway. It's the goodness of God in us. It's his righteousness. Why can't we accept sometimes that God loves us that much, that he would do a miracle in our lives? Yeah, such a wonderful thing that God has done for us and in us in just this picture of Mary and Elizabeth. So she comes into the house and she salutes, she greets Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the salutation of Mary, the babe in her womb leapt. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told for her from the Lord. So Elizabeth just echoes and confirms to Mary the things that have gone on. And three times in this section from verse 42 to 45, three times in that section, she says, you are blessed, Mary. You're a blessed woman. You know how blessed you and I are. You know how blessed we are? We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We have the God of all the universe that's come to meet with us, that has called us by name and wants to have fellowship with us. You know, we look at this time of year and we get all excited just because of the season of the year, but boy, it sure brings to remembrance, doesn't it, what God has done in all of history to bring himself to die for us, for our sins. And it should be a remembrance for us. We have folks at the church, and they're such neat people, but everybody they meet that says, how are you? They say, blessed and highly favored. And it's true. We are a blessed people, and we're highly favored because God indwells us. That's a favor from God that's high on the ranking of greetings. You've got people in the world to greet you. that really don't care anything about you. Hi, how are you? And you say blessed and highly favored to them, they go, oh boy, here we go. You brought a born again into the workplace, Lord. What are you doing? You do it with your own family. How are you? I'm rejoicing because this is Christmas and Jesus came. And they go, oh boy, they're here again. But we are. How can you not say what he has done for you? And I love this time of year. It's such a blessing for me. But you go into stores now and they say happy holidays. And I look back at them and say, I can say Merry Christmas. I don't get good reactions most of the time. Because you're not supposed to say that word because it includes the name of Christ. Amen. They care because they're keeping their job. I care because I know the one that we're celebrating. They get a day off from work. I get a life that's free from sin. I get a life that's going to heaven. They get a day off of work. Wow. I think I'm getting a little bit more out of this than they are. Three times here she says, you're blessed. Blessed art thou among women. Notice it's among again. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. Certainly he is blessed. And look at verse 43, though. It says, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord, my Lord, Elizabeth knew she needed a Savior. And she said, I know who this baby is. The Holy Spirit is filled. Remember in the last verse, as soon as Mary greeted her, the Holy Spirit came upon her. And then she was equipped to say, this is the mother of my Lord. The personal relationship that Elizabeth brings into the conversation just shows who she is, the mother of my Lord. Can you say that to folks? A lot of people can say God, but not a lot of people can say my Lord, my Savior. And he just doesn't want to be your Savior. He wants to be the Lord of your life too. And sometimes that's hard to do because that means sacrifice. That means giving over of my desires for God's desires. But he wants to be Lord of your life. And if he brings such good things into your life, why wouldn't you want him to be the Lord of your everyday life? For lo, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. John the Baptist just leaping for joy while he's still in the womb. And blessed is she that believed. Blessed are you, Mary, because you believed it. And you folks are blessed when you believe that Jesus is who he says he is. You are blessed when you come into obedience and walk with the Lord in your everyday life. You're blessed. No wonder we can say, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm a blessed man because I know my Savior. I'm a blessed man because he walks with me every day as I walk in this dark world. I'm a blessed man because he's blessed me with so many things. Not just eternity, but he blesses me every day. He gets me up out of bed. He moves me around. I was telling the family yesterday, we always have a family picture before everybody scatters and runs because there's so many things to do this time of year. But I was just so thankful to them because you guys know I was in the hospital with COVID. Most of the family didn't think I was going to come home. In fact, one of my daughters called my workplace and said, I need to put things in place because he's not going to come home. He's not going to make it. I was in ICU, the highest oxygen they could give without putting me on a vent and going downhill quickly. And I told them yesterday, I'm so thankful I'm here because I get to see your faces again. And you know what? God brought me here today and I get to see your faces again. What a blessing it is. Because you guys are family. You guys are close. We love you guys. And my wife sends her greetings, by the way. I should have said that to start with. But she's doing worship this morning at our church, so she couldn't come. But she misses you. She loves you. And she's thankful I was able to come. So blessed is she. We get blessed all the time. because there's going to be a performance. You believed, and there's going to be a performance of the things that God has said. Lord, you said you're coming back for me again. Lord, I believe it. I trust it. I wait for it. Lord, help me to be patient in my waiting for you to come for me, in your answering of my cries, of my heart, Lord, my prayers. And so then Mary comes out with these statements in the next few verses, and we'll finish up with that. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul is now enlarged because I believe. My soul is enlarged in the Lord." My soul is enlarged. I magnified. When you put a magnifying glass down on a paper, it enlarges the letters so that you can read it. You know how you're looking at those bottles that have the things written on them, and you can't see one word. So you hold up something that says, here's the directions, and you read around the bottle on the directions. Because it magnifies. She said, the Lord is magnified in my eyesight now. The Lord is enlarged. I see who he is now. The Lord has grown bigger in my life. Not because he's gotten bigger, but because I can see him better now. As he enlarges those things of the word in your life, you know how it is, as you read through your Bibles, and you've read through your Bibles all the time, and all of a sudden there's a word in there that you never saw before, and you go, Lord, where was that word the last time I read through that chapter? It wasn't there. How did it get there? He just enlarged your vision so that you could see it, so that you could believe it, so that you could trust it. And the Lord wants to do that in your life. He wants to be enlarged in your vision so that you can be the witnesses in this dark world of who he is, so that you can use your gifts that God has given you to minister one to another, to minister to the family, to minister in the workplace of just who God is and how big he is. He's enlarged you to give you those voices to speak, to praise and worship the one who loves you the most. My soul magnifies the Lord. I'm going to picture the Lord. I'm going to show the Lord bigger than he's ever been before in my life and in my family, Mary says. Can you imagine what she's facing? She's going to go home 3 months pregnant, showing a little bump. One of my granddaughter-in-law she's pregnant. We just found out a few weeks ago, and we got the calls. And she's got this little baby bump now. But the family that came in that didn't know she was pregnant yet, because she hasn't told everybody, and they're sitting there going, ha, ha, you know, the girls especially, the guys are going, she's pregnant. The girls are going, ah, baby, a baby. And what's the first thing you do? You grab the stomach. No longer does the girl matter, the baby. Because there's a bump there. That means there's a baby. Things are enlarged. Things are bigger. Things are showing. And that's what happens in your life. As the Lord is enlarged in your life, you're able to show him more and more to those around you. And it's so wonderful. When I used to work for Wegmans, there used to be folks that used to come in, and some I knew were saved, and so I would go out on the floor and just rejoice with them, because it just did a wonderful thing in my day, because most of the days weren't good. When you're working in the world, the days just aren't right because you're surrounded by junk. And somebody comes in with just that smile, and you know that they're saved, and you just rejoice in it, and it just gladdens your heart. And sometimes I would look out, and there'd be smiles on people's faces, and I didn't know them from whoever. And this one day, this girl comes in, and she's walking down the aisle, and I saw her and said, boy, there's something different about her. I got to go find out. And the Lord just stirred me to go talk to her, and come to find out she was looking for a church, and she started coming to church, and she's great with kids ministries, and she started doing VBSs for our church, and we used to have a couple 300 kids come to VBS. And it was just like, this is overwhelming. But this gal is just sitting there, and she's just smiling away. But the Lord just encouraged my day completely. He enlarged my view to see, this is somebody you need to talk to. This is somebody that's going to encourage you today. And if I hadn't been looking with the Lord's eyes, with my own eyes, another customer messing up the shelves. Now I got to go back and straighten everything out. Instead of doing that, he enlarged my vision to see, here's somebody that you need to talk to that's going to encourage you today. Oh, how sweet that is. Because you know it's a touch from the Lord on your life just to encourage you to get through the day. Mary goes, the Lord is magnified. The Lord has just gotten so big in my eyesight now that everything I see around me is a touch from the Lord. The things that he's made, the things that he's done, the things that he's going to do, those things are enlarged in my vision. I'm just so thankful. And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. And this is Mary, the mother of God, who says, my Savior, that personal relationship. In other words, she knew she needed a Savior. For those who have raised up Mary to be equal with God, this verse certainly takes that right out and knocks it down. She was not equal with God. She was not equal with Jesus. She's not the co-redemptress. She was a woman who needed God's salvation. And God brought that salvation to her. My soul is magnifying the Lord. I see an enlarged vision of who the Lord is. My spirit's rejoicing. Man, she's having a great day, huh? This is wonderful. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. I've had a low estate. I don't come from a rich town. I don't come from rich parents. I don't come in anything. I'm not this girl with a golden spoon in her mouth. I have a low estate. For behold, from henceforth in all generations, they're going to call me blessed. Look at what the Lord has done in my life. I'm a blessed woman. And people are going to say how blessed I am for the rest of my life because of what God has done in my life. For he that is mighty, we know who's mighty, we know who's capable of power, has done to me great things. And hasn't the Lord put your name in there because God has done great things in your life? If he's put his Holy Spirit into you, great things are happening in your life. And you can rejoice in that. You can celebrate this Christmas like no other Christmas ever. You can celebrate the whole year. God, you've done great things for me, and you continue to do great things for me. And holy is his name. I'm so glad Bill and Debbie sang that, because it just ties in so well. Holy is his name. We've forgotten that holiness, haven't we? We've gone by that. The church no longer thinks of God as holy, but just this one that we come to worship on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights. But God is holy. Even around the throne in Revelation chapter 4, it talks about the 24 elders and the four beasts that are around the throne. And what are they crying out? Holy, holy, holy. Lord God of hosts, they know he's holy. If they know he's holy, why doesn't the church think that he's holy? We're the called ones. We should know his holiness and want that holiness in our lives, and he indwells us. Holy is his name. The word name, when you see it in Scripture, is really the character of the person that they're talking about, the characteristics. Jesus' characteristic was that he was holy. He's holy. And his mercy is upon them that fear him from generation to generation. His mercy is on them. It goes from generation to generation. It just doesn't go into one generation and then he's done with all of humanity. It goes from generation to generation. His mercy is on them. This is what it says in Matthew chapter 5 about that mercy. Chapter 5, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they're going to obtain mercy. If you have mercy today, it's because God wants you to be merciful to those around you. Not just to the ones that are saved, but how about showing mercy to those that aren't saved? I don't want to, Lord. They cut me off on the expressway. Why do I want to show them mercy? Because we represent Jesus, and if he's magnified in our sight, we want that magnification to be shown to those that are around us. His mercy is on them that fear him, and he has showed strength with his arm and has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. This is what it says in Luke 18 as we look at it. Let me just read it to you in verse 14 of that if you want to write it down, if you're taking notes. He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself is going to be abased, and he that humbleth himself is going to be exalted. You can't be exalted in the kingdom of God unless first you're abased. Oswald Chambers said this. He said, beware of posing as a profound person because God came as a baby. That kind of shows us a different way of looking at things, doesn't it? We can't stand on our own strength, posing ourselves to be some proud person when God came as a baby, humbled himself, it says, to come to die for you and me. we must first come to that place of realizing we have nothing to offer God. We are nothing, and it's only going to be His work in us that makes us anything. He's put down the mighty from their seats, the Hitlers, the Mussolinis, the Napoleons, the ones that thought they were mighty in power, Alexander the Great, all those that think that they're mighty. He's taken them from their seats and exalted them of low degree. As you look in the book of Revelation, that you see that there's 24 seats surrounding the throne, and then those seats are 24 elders, it says. And many people think that they're the 12 men from the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles sitting around the throne, men of low degree that God raised up. They weren't born into that. They didn't promote themselves into that. They were made low so that God could raise them up. If you're feeling low about yourself this morning, God wants to raise you up. In fact, He's raised you up into the heavenly places, it tells us in Ephesians, that He already sees you sitting there before His throne, worshiping Him. And it isn't because we deserved it. It's because He gave us the grace to believe it, what God was going to do in and for us. He says He's filled the hungry with good things. And those good things are the things of the kingdom. He's filled those that are hungry. And again, back in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, it says, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst," what? After righteousness, after Jesus, because Jesus is our righteousness. And it says, because they're going to be filled. They're the ones that are going to be filled with good things. They're the ones that are going to be filled with the power of God in their lives. You want to be great? Let Him fill you. You want to be something? Abase yourself. Humble yourself before the Lord and let Him raise you up. As Mary puts all this down, this is what I've given myself over for. This is what I've given to my Lord because of what He's going to do in my life. And look at all the things that God is doing for me in this place. In this section from verses 46 to 56, these 10 verses, five times she says, me or my, and it's always in relation of her to the Lord. 12 times she's going to say he or him. Where's her focus? On Him. Her focus is on Him and what He's going to do in her life and how He's going to minister to her, how He's going to treat her, what He's done for her. And shouldn't that be our focus? Because we all know those folks that the whole conversation that you talk to them with is what they've done and how they are and how rich they are and how much they have and what they've done. Usually it's in political sentences, which we don't need. I need to know how great God is. And it blesses me when I talk with folks who talk about how good God has been to them and what He's done with them and for them. It just blesses me because it blesses the spirit that's within me, and He blesses Jesus. She just talks about the Lord. Lord, what are You doing? This is so good, I can't handle it. And look at what she's going to face. And she has to go through this to get to that place of knowing how great God is so that she can withstand the stares and the talk and the shunning and everything else that's going to happen to her later. Some of the things that God brings into your life is to prepare you for what's going to happen next. Are you prepared? You can't get prepared by going out and earning another buck. You get prepared by sitting before the Lord and letting Him prepare your heart for it. That's what Mary's doing. She's getting prepared to face what's coming next. And you and I are going to face the same things that she did. Maybe not in the same way, by the same people, but the same things that are going to affect our hearts and our minds. He's filled the hungry, verse 53, with good things. And the rich He sent away empty. Those that thought they could buy their way into something, He sent them away empty because there's nothing there. They thought their riches could take them through. They can't. He has hope in His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. He helped Israel not because they were great, but because of His mercy. And He spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Because after the 3 months, Elizabeth was ready to deliver. Elizabeth was ready to have John the Baptist. He was going to become a great man in the kingdom. In fact, Jesus even said that there's no greater prophet ever than John the Baptist. Wow, that's a pretty big statement. But what humble beginnings. Born to a woman that shouldn't have had a baby. Born to a woman that couldn't until God intervened. And you and I couldn't do anything worthwhile in the kingdom until God birthed in us something new, something fresh, something real, something true. So if you're looking for Christmas to be something other than what it should be, it isn't going to satisfy you anyway. The only thing we need is more of Jesus. And especially in the times that we're in, it's going to get worse. I'm not trying to be a bummer. That's just the way it is. It's going to get worse. But you know what? When things in the world get worse, our magnification of who the Lord is in our sight, in the spirit that's within us sight, it's going to enlarge him to tell us that he can get us through those times. You can't get through it. If you're trying on your own to get through today, you're not going to make it. You're going to be so bummed by the time you get home, you're going to give up. But if you let the spirit within you enlarge the view of who God is in your life, you're going to not only get through today, you're going to get through tomorrow, you're going to get through the rest of your life until God takes you home. And then we're going to see him as he is. And we can't do that now because in these bodies, if we saw God like he was, like he is, we'd be smoked. We couldn't handle it. Our minds would just go, and we'd be done. That's why Moses, he had to hide him in the cleft of the rock. I'll just show you my back parts. Because if you see me completely for who I am, you're going to be toast, Moses. You're not going to make it. That's why we need new bodies and new minds when we get to heaven, so that we can see him and then understand him for who he is and realize this is what God wants us to be. But for now, we can have our eyesight magnified of who God is in our lives today. And I pray we do that this season because we need it. We can't do anything without him. Remember what it said, for with God, all things are possible. God can do it in your life. God, you can't use me. I'm not worth enough. Oh, yes, you can. God can do it in you. Don't restrict God and what he wants to do in your life. And pray that for me, too. I need it. The only reason I can stand up here and do this is because God has already done a work and doing a work. I'm reading the same words you are, and I'm getting the same message that you are. Odell, you need this. I know I need it. And I'm so thankful he wants to. Can you imagine that? The God of the universe wants to talk with you today and do something in your life. And we go, maybe tomorrow, Lord. Really? Why not today? So, Lord, just thank you so much that you're so good to us. Thank you for your word. What a blessing, Lord, to have your word and to realize that all those things in there are for us. All the things that you've written in your word are to encourage us, to strengthen us, to show us who you are, that we might have a better view of who you are, that we might have today more understanding of who you are in our lives than we've ever had before. And Father, we pray you birth that in our lives today. Elizabeth birthed John the Baptist. Mary birthed Jesus. Lord, in us, you want to birth the Holy Spirit working in and through us. You want to give us that new birth. You want to give us that new life that's different, that's changed, that's better. Lord, do that today. How we need you. We just thank you that you're willing. And Father, help us to be willing vessels to receive. And we just will thank you for it. We'll praise you for it. And Lord, as we go out into this world at this time of year, Lord, we celebrate the remembrance of what you've done. But Lord, help it not to be one day a year. May we do this every day, Lord. May you be that important to us every day as it is on December 25th. Lord, we need you. And we thank you that you love us and that you have already loved us with everything that you are. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.